We're starting a series, Crossroads, today. We're going to be looking at various encounters that people had with Jesus at the crossroads in their life. You'll find these crossroads that we're going to look at in the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And crossroads are these places where we face a lot of pain, maybe fear, brokenness in our lives. It's at the crossroads in life where there's a lot of confusion, a lot of uncertainty, frustration, turmoil. And it's at that intersection in life, and we all have had those points where things can change. How? Well, because at the crossroads is where you find Jesus many times. It's at the crossroads that Jesus begins to raise questions and kind of challenge the status quo. It's at the crossroads that Jesus helps people find direction, hope, purpose, healing. And it's at that crossroads that Jesus changes lives. I mean, I know that from experience. And some of you are at that crossroad today. And more than anything else, you need to realize that Jesus is at the crossroads also. That he wants to change your life. See, it's at the crossroads lives are changed. Now we're going to look at some people, their lives were changed when they met Jesus at that crossroads. And when you read the New Testament, the gospel story, we find Jesus, he's traveling from town to town and he's teaching, and Jesus is kind of challenging culture. And he's redefining faith. He's pointing people toward God, kind of clarifying the kingdom of God. And we find Jesus doing a lot of healing. He's performing miracles. And it's interesting, as Jesus is moving from one crossroad moment to another, that we can see that Jesus is getting closer and closer to his own crossroad. Ultimately, it would lead Jesus to the cross. And it's at that crossroad that lives are changed. Eternity is changed. It was at that crossroad that the victory was won. It made our lives possible. There's something I noticed when I was preparing for this series and putting stuff together, that those crossroad moments in the gospel, people ask a lot of questions in those times, because I think part of the nature of a crossroad is we have a lot of questions. And when you read the stories, what I found very interesting was Jesus asks a lot of questions. In fact, there are over 100 questions that Jesus pushes, and they're defining questions, they're challenging questions. And so what I want to do is we're traveling in this series is look at some of those crossroads and then pay particular attention to the question that Jesus raises. Kind of zero in on those and really see how they apply in our lives. Today's story, it's mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. It's in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all record the story. And here's kind of the cliff notes on it. Jesus, he's been teaching. He's been teaching from a boat. People are gathered up on the shore. They're listening to him. And he says to his disciples, he says, let's go to the other side. So they push out to sea. They're basically going to take a shortcut across. They're traveling that overseas highway, so to speak. Jesus puts his head down on a cushion. He falls asleep. It's been an intense day of teaching. And he's just tired. The waves are rocking. Jesus goes to sleep. And then a storm hits. Now, Sea of Galilee, you need to understand, it's 680 feet below sea level. It's surrounded by mountains. And because of that terrain, the weather, very unpredictable. It's a beautiful moment. And then the next moment, boom, it's a storm. Now, I think I've shared before, when Cindy and I were in Israel, we were on the Sea of Galilee. and it was a perfectly beautiful day. And we get out in the middle, and all of a sudden, just like that, storm blows in. Now, it was a gentle rain, but it just got dark almost immediately, within moments. And immediately when that happened, I thought about this story. Scripture says a serious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" I'm thinking it must have been a bad storm, because you remember most of the disciples, what'd they do for a living? They were fishermen. They were commercial fishermen. These guys spent a lot of time on the water, and we have these guys, they're freaking out. "Jesus, wake up. Don't you care? We're going to drown here. Pay attention." Scripture says he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus cries out and calms the sea, calms the winds. Everything goes still. Can you imagine that for a moment? I mean, what a moment that must have been. I'm sure the disciples remembered it the rest of their lives. Then he says to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Disciples are traveling with Jesus, overseas highway, in the middle of the sea, serious storm. It's a crossroad moment. Jesus raises a defining question: why are you so afraid? And there's several things I want to note about the storm. I think these are things that you can real easily miss when you read the story. I encourage you to read it this week for your devotions. But I think it's important we get this. Jesus, even though he's on the boat, even though the disciples, they're being obedient, there's still a storm. And so I'm reading that, I think, wait a minute. You mean I can be obedient to God, and I could still face storms? I could be obedient to God, and I'll still face depression or sickness or death? I mean, I think it's very, very easy to think of a story like Jonah. And Jonah, he faces a storm because he's disobedient, right? And so I go, "Oh, I get it. You're disobedient, you're going to face storms." Disciples are being obedient. They're doing exactly what Jesus asked them to do. And yet they face a storm. In fact, if you follow the lives of the disciples, they all faced horrendous storms in their lives. If you track their lives, you find they all died violent deaths except John. John didn't. No, he just got to be an old man, a convict, exiled to the island of Patmos, and he was sentenced to hard labor in the stone quarry. He's the only one. And that doesn't sound like much of a life. I mean, nowhere in the Bible does God say that we're exempt as Christians from difficult times. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, hey, it's smooth sailing, everything's going to be good as long as you're obedient. It's not there. Storms are part of life. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, storms are part of life. It gets tough in the storms, doesn't it? Get ready for the storms. Are you? And even though Jesus is on the boat, the disciples, they're gripped with fear. They're freaking out. And I think we all have those moments where fear and doubt creep in. Things get out of control. I mean, I deal with fear from time to time. So do you. And I find it very, very comforting to know that the disciples were afraid and Jesus is right there with them. You know, even though the disciples had this small amount of faith, Scripture says that Jesus rescued them. And I think that's amazing. I mean, the fact is, many times in my life, I've had just a little bit of faith, a little bit of trust. And what I've tried to do is to put that little bit of faith, that little bit of trust on something solid. It's not the size of your faith. I want you to hear this. It's not the size of your faith. It's what you choose to put your faith in, to put your trust in. You've got to put it in something that's rock solid. You have to put it in the hands of what I believe is the only true captain in the world. If it's not in God's hands, whatever your storm is, if it's not in God's hands, there is no way you're going to navigate it. You're not going to get through the storm. You just won't. You know, one of the other things that strikes me is the storm is raging. Disciples are panicked. They're afraid. What's Jesus doing? Sleeping. Are you guys sleeping? I mean, Jesus is sleeping on this boat that's being crashed with the waves and the wind. And I think it says something about Jesus' trust level in his Father. You know, Jesus is living the perfect will of God. And Jesus is someone, I think, that can give us that peace and that confidence and that assurance that we need in the storms. The fact is, every one of us here, We're in one of three places in our lives. Some of you, today, you'd go, I'm going through a storm. And you're right in the middle of it. And the winds are howling, and it's getting tough. Some of you are emerging from a storm. You know, and it's been tough, but you're starting to see the sky clear and starting to get focus again. And some of you are right now going, well, I'm good on those two counts, you know. Well, then you need to look up. You need to start surveying the horizon. Because the storms are brewing. They're coming. Storms are part of life. And there are a lot of different kinds of storms. And I wonder, are you ready? Are you ready for the storms? You know, there are relational storms. In fact, some of you are at that crossroads today. You're facing that marital storm in your life. And you haven't told anyone, you know, kind of keeping it a secret, putting up a good cover. But the fact is, you're sitting at that crossroads. It's lonely. People around you have no clue. And your marriage is falling apart. And at the crossroads, friends, you got to make decisions. That's the nature of a crossroad. Some of you need to just make the decision. You know, I want to encourage you, you know, pick up the phone, make a call, you know, call a counselor, get help. But it's a marital storm. And we face those sometimes. Brace yourself. The waters will get rough. It will get tough at some point. But the fact is that God will help you navigate that. He'll help you navigate the winds and the waves. And God has a way of doing what God can only do. Begin to piece things back together. You know, maybe you've been hurt somehow. You know, someone close to you, they betrayed you or they did something. And the fact is, that's a relational storm. Some of you feel rejected and alone. Relational storm. There are physical storms in life, you know, health storms. Some of you are at that crossroads today. You know, maybe you received a bad report from the doctor, or they're saying, hey, we got to do further tests. You know, maybe you have anxiety and stress. You just can't shake it. You just can't get rid of it. Some of you feel like you're in a cave of depression. Those are health storms. They're real, they hurt, and they begin to affect every aspect of our lives. There are vocational storms. You know, it's where I can't stand to work with them another day. You know, my job's getting the best of me. I've never hated anything as much as I hate this. you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, maybe you're thinking about changing jobs. Maybe you lost your job. That's a crossroad in life. It's a vocational crossroad. And these are serious storms. I mean, they're stressful. They're wearing. And they're very real. In fact, I talk to people on a regular basis that are dealing with vocational storms in their lives. They're spiritual storms. And it's at that crossroad you start dealing with things like, it really raises questions, what's life about? You know, is this all there is? I mean, what's my purpose? There has to be more out there. And you start addressing those issues of emptiness and dissatisfaction. And it's at the crossroad that God uses that moment. And it's a defining moment to get our attention. In fact, some of you, that's what brought you to Faith Fellowship. You found yourself at the crossroad. You were in some type of storm in your life. And you go, you know what? Nothing else is working. Might as well give that a shot. True? But that's God's okay with that. And that's okay if that's how you go, well, can't hurt, can it? Well, maybe. And so you show up. But God will use that moment and use that spiritual storm in our life to get us to go to church, to get us to reconnect so that maybe we could hear a message that will help us, that we could connect with other people that love the Lord, you know, and will give us some accountability and some love. And God will use that to change your life. See, Jesus wants in the boat with us. He wants to help us navigate the storms. And I was thinking this past week as I was preparing for this series and praying for this series, Crossroads, I was thinking about the fact that Satan really doesn't care if we do this series on Crossroads. He doesn't care if we study about storms and those moments, and those defining moments. It's really no skin off his back. He doesn't care if we learn about the Bible even. That's not a big deal. You go study away. Fine and dandy. Good for you. Way to go. But I'll tell you what gets his attention is when we translate what we learn into our lives and begin living it. The evil one hates that. He does not want us to change our lives. He does not want us to bow a knee to Jesus Christ and say, you know what, I've learned something and now I want to live it. Jesus, you navigate. You're in charge. I'm deferring to you. When you're at that crossroads, when you're facing that storm, whether it's a little bitty storm or a small storm, or maybe it's like a hurricane, when those waves are coming over the bow, when it's crashing, the winds are whirling. I mean, what do we do in those moments? I mean, I know what I've done. So have you, probably. We kind of react to those moments. You know, when the storm hits, sometimes what we do is we think we can outrun the storm, right? So we jump in our boat, crank up the motor, and boom, boom, I'm gonna get away from this. You know, I'm gonna run. I'm gonna go in the other direction. Why? Because, well, I like a storm-free life. And just a newsflash, you can't outrun the storm. You can't. A few years ago, I was out down in Florida, and we're about 25 miles out on the ocean. And I kind of looked on the horizon. We had a couple storms. You could see them brewing. And so the guy I was with, he's from down there, and he's like, oh, we can get around these storms. No big deal. And so he gunned the motor, and we started trying to get out. It was kind of like a game at this point. I mean, you've all heard of storm chasers. We were being chased by storms. And it got very, very interesting because we're cutting right and left. And we're going, trying to go out more to the south. And then we decided to go east. And we're all over the place trying to, and these storms just kept like boxing us in. And finally, he just shuts the motor down and goes, we've got to ride it out. I've learned something about crossroads. Crossroads demand that we make decisions. It's at the crossroads, as you're facing whatever that storm is, that you have to acknowledge you can't outrun the storm. It's kind of like trying to outrun God. You ever try that? It doesn't work. You can't. You can't run fast enough. You can't hide. At some point, you find yourself looking God straight in the eyes. You know, you try and outrun the storm. You can see it coming. But what happens when you try and outrun the storm in your life is usually, as you're trying to avoid that storm, you end up in a bigger storm because you can't outrun them. And I think it's very difficult because we live in a society that really encourages people to run from the crossroads. You know, run from the storm. Run from the pain. Run from accountability. Run from truth. And so what happens is we rev the motor and we try and outrun it and we try and avoid those crossroads decisions that we need to make. And people will cheer you on. Have you noticed that? You try and run from something, they'll cheer you on. They'll encourage you to keep running. In fact, they'll pat you on the back and pretend everything's fine and dandy. I remember several years ago, I was talking to a guy that he really, really had some storms in his life. And he's struggling in his marriage and struggling vocationally. And he was a Christian man. He loved God. There wasn't any doubt about that. But instead of facing the storm in his life, instead of calling out like the disciples said, okay, Jesus, help me with this. He jumped in the boat, started trying to outrun the storm. He started listening to what I always call sinful sympathizers. You know, they're the people that cheer you in your sin. They cheer you in your junk of life. They go, oh, it's okay. You had an affair. Don't worry about it. You know, it's okay. You're involved in illegal activities. You know, kind of playing in the gray there. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Everybody's doing it. You know how this goes, right? People go, oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, good for you. Who can blame you? Boys will be boys. Girls will be girls. And they will cheer you on. Those sinful sympathizers don't know what else to say, so they just go, good for you. Keep going. Friends, here's a little clue. Little clue. If you're at that crossroads and you're facing a storm, whatever the storm is, if you're going to do it God's way, one of the things you have to become very skilled at is throwing those people overboard. The people that will cheer you into a bigger storm. You need to throw them out and ask Jesus to get in the boat with you. Let him navigate. Let him tell you what to do, what direction to go, what decisions to make. I mean, the guy I was talking about, he's running from that storm. Oh, man, he ran into a bigger one. It really was devastating. It was painful to watch. Kind of cataclysmic, you know, that he almost lost everything. He thought he was running from God. And it was a couple years later, I mean, he ran right into God. And that was a painful conversation. He said, man, I blew it. You know, I've tried to run, okay? I get it. I've tried to run. What I can tell you is it does not work. If you're running, stop. It's not going to work. I mean, some people at the crossroads, instead of running, what they do is they just kind of resign themselves to the storm. You know how this goes. Storm hits, and that's the person that goes, oh, this is bad. Oh, it's bad. It's really, really bad. This is just awful. I'm going to drown. This is going to be the worst situation. The boat's going to sink. I'm going to die here. Oh, what a horrible life I got. Don't do that. Friends, that is no way to live. And do not confuse resignation with acceptance. Resignation, storm hits, and the mentality, if you resign yourself to it, is, it's over, poor me. Acceptance is, okay, this isn't good, but this is the situation I'm in, Lord. What do you want me to learn? What's next? I mean, see, some people just resign themselves. Some people resent the storms. You know, they curse the wind. They curse the waves. They shake their fist in the face of God. You know, they get bitter, get angry and negative and cynical. And that stuff's toxic because not only does it poison you, it poisons everybody around you. But some people resent the storm. Rather than asking God, you know, what can I learn? How can you use this? I mean, do you believe that God can bring good out of all situations? So we don't run. We don't resign ourselves. We don't resent. We don't react. But we do it God's way and start translating what we learn into living. And the only way you do that is if you realize a couple things. When you're at that crossroads, some of you are there today, when you're facing that storm, the first thing you got to remember is Jesus is with you. He's in the boat with you. Scripture says it was evening of that same day. Jesus said to them, let's go over to the other side. And after sending the people away, they took Jesus with them in a boat. Jesus is in the boat with them. He's in the boat. I want you to imagine for a moment, you're on a boat, you're gonna we're gonna tour the world. Go across the sea, go to Europe, and just work our way around. And so you're in this boat, and you get to take one person with you for the ride, okay? And it's God. How many of you would feel confident if God was in the boat with you? Come on. Yeah, I'm like, bring it on, baby. I'm ready. I can do this. In fact, God, you drive. I'm going to chill out and just enjoy things. I don't have anything to worry about. I think I would feel confident. I want to believe that I would. If I could see God sitting in that boat, that I would go, okay, I'm good. The disciples, Jesus is in the boat. They can see him. They can touch him. They lose their confidence. Now, I think you have to cut them a little bit of slack here because they did not fully realize who Jesus was. I can't use that excuse. Neither can you. But since the beginning of time, God has had a way of being involved in people's lives, sitting in the boat. God's been helping people since the beginning of time. God's been there for you in your life. And when you realize that, you just got to hang on. You got to love him and trust him and realize that it's going to be okay. But you got to invite him in your boat. Let him captain you through whatever the storm is. You know, never let the presence of a storm in your life have you doubt the presence of God in your life. You know, when that storm's raging, when the wind is whirling, when the waves are surging, and you're sitting there thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it, you got to realize that God's in the boat with you, and God can change things. In fact, it changes everything. It changes how you look at things. I love what the psalmist writes. He says, God is our refuge and strength and a help always near in times of trouble. That's why we won't be afraid. When the world falls apart, when the mountains crumble in the center of the sea, when its waters roar and rage, when the mountains shake because of its surging waves, God's our refuge. See, it doesn't mean that you don't get rocked in the storm. But what it means is that you are going to go through with God, that God will see you through it. It's much like what Isaiah writes, and he's writing about storms, and he says, this is God speaking, when you go through the deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. In other words, whatever it is you're going through, whatever that storm is, it doesn't really matter what it is, you need to know you're going through. Did you catch that? You're going through. You're going through because God's with you. And that can give us confidence, knowing that I will get through one way or another. I'm never going to face anything alone. I'm never by myself. Everybody else may abandon me, but God will be there in the midst of it. And so I ask you, what are you facing today? I mean, are you facing the loss of a loved one? Are you facing a career change in your life, a relational turmoil, financial struggles, sickness? I don't know. But whatever it is, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And whatever it is, you need to remember God's with you. He's with you. And not only is he with you, but you need to realize that God cares. And he's on your side. And he wants the best for you. God cares about everything that you're going through. Everything that you struggle with. Everything that's beating you up. Every wave that's crashing in, God's paying attention. Mark writes, he says, the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Think about that question there. I mean, I've asked that many times in my life. Don't you care? God, do you really see what's happening here? Come on, give me a break. Pay attention. See what's going on. Come on, God, what's with you? I just don't feel you right now, God. Do you care? Do you really care? Do you care if I drowned? Did you catch what I said there a minute ago? I don't feel you right now. A lot of people catch me, they go, I just don't feel God. Friends, we get so focused on feelings. And we should have feelings when it comes to our relationship with God. But feelings, many times, if you get focused there, you're just going to miss God in the midst of it. The fact is that, again, we should have great feelings about our relationship with God. But sometimes you just can't feel God. And when you can't feel God, you just have to be obedient to God. You have to follow God. Do the God-honoring things. And remind yourself, God does care. It's kind of like the master angler, Simon Peter. He had a lot to say about storms, but one of the things he writes, he goes, 1 Peter 5:7, he says, "Cast the whole of your care, all your anxiety, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." All your worries, all your concerns, all your cares, all your storm stuff, okay? Some of you are going through some difficult times right now. Some of you are in a serious storm. And what you need to do, you need to cast that anxiety that you have, that fear that you have, that doubt that you have. Cast your worries and your concerns, all that stuff, cast it on God. You just need to do it. You need to do it on a regular basis. Sometimes you got to just hourly say, "I'm giving this to you, God. I'm really worried. I'm afraid." And you just keep casting it minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. Cast it on God. Why? Because he cares. He's paying attention. He gets what you're going through. And you're going through. Some of you, the storms are raging. Now, Christians, I want to ask you something. If you're in a storm right now, or think back to when you've been through a storm, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I mean, have you forgotten that God is in the boat? Have you forgotten that He cares about you? He cares about what you're going through. He wants the very, very best for you. Have you forgotten who's in the boat with you? King of Kings, Lord of Lords, holds the universe in place. You don't even take a breath without His power. And friends, when you realize that, you realize Jesus is in that craft with you, there's hope. There's hope. I mean, maybe your boat's coming apart. It may not survive. It may just break up and sink. Don't put your faith in the boat. Put your faith in the Lord. The one that can calm the sea. Stop the wind. And friends, that perspective will change how you look at everything. I'm ready for the storm. And I've been through many storms. And the question is, are you? Are you ready for the storm in your life? Because what I absolutely know is that God is paying attention and God knows what you're going through. And sometimes God's just waiting for you to say, get in this boat with me and help me navigate it. And the other thing I know about Crossroads, and this is something we're going to find throughout this series, when I'm at the crossroad, God does some of His best work in me at the crossroads. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, I know there are some here today that, man, the winds are howling. The waves are rocking. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just strengthen them, that they would realize You want in that boat with them, that You'll help them get through whatever it is that they're going through. And God, I know from experience, there are times I just look and I thought, oh, You didn't care at all. But You always do care. Every little thing, no matter how small, You're fully aware. You do care. You want the best. God, I pray that You'd pull brothers and sisters alongside those that are going through storms. That we would just heighten our awareness of those around us, that we would step into their lives, that we would be willing to shoulder some things, and to just join hands with a brother or sister and say, I'll get in this boat with you too. God, I praise You, because there are many of us here today that You have seen us through the storms. And we're fully aware that we wouldn't have come through without You. God, we're thankful for the things You taught us through those storms, through the problems, through the struggles. God, use our crossroads moments. Bring us closer to You. We just give You the glory and praise this day and every day. Amen. You know, if you're going through a storm today, and we have prayer teams down front after service, come down, let them pray for you. You don't have to tell them. Just say, hey, I got some stuff going on, but I need prayer. Let them pray for you. Let God's Spirit minister to you, and make sure you invite Jesus to get in that boat with you. He's got a plan, and He'll deliver you through whatever it is. So let's worship together.